Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Thursday, June 20th, 2019. We have 21 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, you've been hearing about the wind in the forecast. Well, it's finally reached small craft advisory level enough to put it in the forecast. Small craft advisory in effect from 8 a.m. today and through this evening. That means winds 20 to 34 knots are possible. And that small craft advisory is phrased that way because when the wind gets up into that kind of level, it may not seem like much, but if you're out there on the beach in 30-mile-an-hour winds, it can really affect small craft out there and make them harder to maneuver and handle. So it becomes a weather advisory at that point. Today, we can expect northwest winds 15 to 20, but gusting to 25. Wind waves from the northwest 4 feet at 5 seconds apart, and northwest swells 6 feet high at 8 seconds apart. And the wind is probably going to be blowing even hot, more than that offshore. So you could expect windy conditions on the beach and out on the water today in the ocean. In terms of our, so I'm going to be talking with you about container security and about a ship that was discovered in Philadelphia, I think it is, of having just lots and lots of cocaine on board. And they were found inside at least one shipping container. And so it brings up the topic of container security on vessels. We have just so many containers coming into the United States from other countries. How do we... How do we keep those things secure? And it's been an ongoing debate within the maritime industry of how do you balance the cost and the time of inspecting millions of containers that come in on container ships each year to the United States with the possibility of something illegal in this case or even dangerous coming into the country. So talk about that in just a minute. But let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 5 inbounders. We have 7 in our Astoria anchorages and 9 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Sakazaya Noble. She's arriving from Japan, headed for the Astoria anchorage. She's a wheat ship, and boy, we have a lot of wheat ships on the schedule today. She probably arrived in the anchorage at about 5 a.m., the Magic P is next inbound from, she's inbound from China, headed for the Rice Island anchorage. She'll be there at about 10:30 this morning. The Ida Selmer is arriving from Brazil. She's headed for the Port of Vancouver. She's picking up a mineral cargo, I think probably bentonite clay. She'll pass Astoria around 2:30 p.m. and be in Vancouver probably around 8:30 this evening. The Nicholas III is arriving from South Korea, headed for the Crims Island anchorage, which is just downriver from the port of Longview. She'll pass Astoria around 3:30 p.m. You might see her in the Crims Island anchorage, which is visible from the north side of the river as you drive along the highway to Longview there. She'll be there at about 6:30 p.m. Daria Topti is arriving from Japan, headed for the Longview anchorage. She's picking up wheat when she goes upriver to Longview. She'll pass Astoria around 6:30 p.m., maybe in Longview by about 10 o'clock this evening. And our ships in the anchorage, we have 7 of them. They're all awaiting orders, but I believe every single one of them is going up to pick up wheat upriver. The Fanula, the Prabhu Shakti, the Aspasia Luck, the Sasebo Ace, the Blessed Luck, the Sakazaya Ace, and the Pan Bicorn. So when I was talking with you yesterday about how we are a huge wheat portal for wheat exports here out of the Columbia River, and a lot of that wheat comes to the ports of where it is shipped out of by barge, sometimes by train, but a lot of it is shipped from the inland west by barge. So there's a tug and barge piece to the ship piece. So the tug and barge, in some cases, the supply chain is tug and barge to down to the lower river, which begins at Portland is what I'm sort of thinking of it. So that piece up to Idaho on the river is a really, really economical way to get wheat down to the Portland-Vancouver area, and then it gets on ships and goes overseas. In our outbounders, the Ligari is leaving Kalama carrying corn, soy, or wheat around 11 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 4 p.m. The Puffin Arrow is leaving Portland with soda ash on board from the Port of Portland, leaving around 11:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. Soda ash is a really big commodity on the world market. In fact, it's a signifier or an indicator of the health of the world economy. It's used, one of its most well-known uses is automotive glass. So we send a lot of raw materials overseas that come back to us in the form of manufactured goods. This is one case where soda ash goes to Asia, where it's made into automotive glass and comes back to us on those car carriers as brand new cars, in brand new cars. The Admiralty Spirit is leaving Vancouver. She's leaving about 12:30 p.m. You might see her pass Astoria outbound around 6:30. The Hunan is leaving Longview, another soda ash ship there, leaving around 2 p.m., passing Astoria outbound maybe about 5:30. The New Boundary is heading out of Kalama with wheat on board. 2 p.m. outbound, could be passing Astoria around 7 o'clock this evening. The K Asian Beauty will be leaving Portland. Hyundai is on board, leaving around 6 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around midnight. The Olympic Pioneer is leaving Vancouver. Bentonite Clay, leaving around 6:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 12:30 a.m. on Friday. And the Genco Loire is leaving Portland with potash on board, leaving around 8 p.m., passing Astoria outbound maybe around 2 a.m. on Friday. And the Little Prince is leaving Kalama around 8:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 1:30 a.m. on Friday. Let's talk about containers. First, I want to share the news reports. This is some information from CNN and CBS News. This is kind of I would think unusual, perhaps not as unusual as we might think, illegal operation happening on a container ship. This is from a CNN report. Under the cover of night, members of a ship's crew loaded bales of cocaine onto a vessel bound for the U.S., expecting to earn tens of thousands of dollars for the job. Instead, U.S. authorities seized the haul, totaling about 16.5 tons with an estimated street value of $1 billion, according to federal prosecutors. The drugs were found Monday in seven shipping containers on the MSC Guyane after it arrived at the Packer Marine Terminal in Philadelphia, according to a federal complaint filed Tuesday in U.S. District Court. The U.S. Attorney's Office called it one of the largest drug seizures in history. The complaint accuses the ship's second mate and another crew member of intentionally conspiring to possess a controlled substance on board a vessel subject to U.S. jurisdiction. Apparently, at least two people on board the ship have confessed. The second mate expected to be paid about $50,000 in cryptocurrency for helping to load cocaine on the vessel. And it was loaded while the ship was at sea. 14 separate boats approached the vessel at different points carrying bales of cocaine. So they come to the United States, and now they're continuing to, CBS reports that they're continuing to search the cargo ship and finding more, an additional amount of cocaine on that vessel. So there could be 30 tons more on board. So these are in shipping containers. Shipping containers are the things you see on the backs of trucks and trucks and trains. And so these are a really big deal in commerce. So let's just take a look at how many containers. About 11 million containers enter the United States every year. And about 1% of those are checked at overseas ports. Currently, we scan about 3.7% of those. That's all we are able to check. So it's been an issue, a terrorism issue, an illegal goods issue to inspect all these containers. What are some of the caveats and the restrictions here? Well, it would cost billions to inspect every container. It would also take a great deal of time. They haven't figured out a cost-effective or time-effective way to scan. Even if you scan them each scan individually, you need a human person to look for anomalies. And so it's almost like airport security. So it's a huge time and money issue. And so far, any efforts at the federal level to mandate screening have been put off because of the extreme costs and time involved. So there's an issue there that regulators may be rethinking after this, because this was one of the biggest drug busts in history, apparently, on board a container ship. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.